Act 1, Scene 1.
We see a just visible, late afternoon, pseudo-moon in the sky, panning down and through a window at an upscale, off-urban home. We see Melissa, a professional woman in her early 40s, in her tranquil yoga room, lit only by the colorful, waning light of the window. She is wearing a black tank top and strangely patterned yoga pants. Her eyes are closed, and she is in her zone. The music of Pray of the Strange by Happy Rhodes fills the room, enhancing the mesmerizing effect. The song's ethereal quality combines with the visuals, creating an otherworldly experience. We focus in closely on different aspects of Melissa's shape, dark against the last gasps of afternoon light shining through the window. Melissa moves with grace and precision. As she moves, around her light becomes colorful swirls, flowing translucently and gently around her, like visible air set in motion by her movements. Throughout the prismatic colors are glitters of dust particles shining and moving. The effect is like glittery, interweaving, rainbow-colored smoke currents. Melissa's face remains calm and focused, her deep connection with her inner self evident. She moves smoothly through a set of movements that will be known as Movements 1. The energy patterns intensify with each movement, weaving a mesmerizing tapestry based in sacred geometry that seems to fill the room and spill out the window. Suddenly, Melissa's serene meditation is interrupted by her vibrating cell phone placed on a nearby table, which disrupts the music that is transmitting from the phone to the speakers. The device flashes with a corporate logo, indicating an important call. With a sigh, Melissa slowly opens her eyes and reaches for her phone. As Melissa's fingers brush against the phone, the vibrant energy patterns in the room slowly subside, as though a vacuum is pulling them into the place where her hand and the phone meet. The lighting of the room becomes less saturated and more muted. A cloud shadows the sun outside, dimming the room as though a light switched. At the same moment, Melissa's son, Tal, a 10-year-old boy, begins banging on the door. "Mom, I can't find my bag. Mom!"
"Tal, I'm having mommy time. Look under the coat you left in a heap on the hall floor."
"But Mom, I'm also hungry. What's for supper?"
Melissa opens the door with a force of irritation. Suddenly, a blinding flash rips through her head, nearly knocking her over. She gasps, holding her head and shaking it. We see what she sees, a quick reverse image vision of Beau's face, which she doesn't recognize. It's a split-second image, and then her vision returns to normal. She shakes her head and pinches the bridge of her nose, face scrunched.
"Mom, are you okay?"
"I'm fine. Let's see where Dad is."
They pass by a TV screen on the kitchen counter, showing a news channel where a newscaster is interviewing attendees at Comic-Con. The screen shows Max Steele leave a busy lineup at his table to join the interviewer in front of Beau's table, where there is no line. Behind the interviewer and Max Steele, Beau sits at his celebrity table, looking bored. Melissa does not notice the screen. We see her midsection and Tal's face and upper body walking by. As we see this, we hear the dialogue. We stay with the screen when they pass. Tal stops and watches the same screen we see, so that he is in profile for the rest of the scene, along with the screen, and we see his expressions. Melissa's husband stays off screen for the full scene. We continue watching the screen on the counter with the Comic-Con interview on silent, showing Beau in the background, playing with a bobblehead of the man being interviewed in front of him. We continue to see the profile of Tal's expressions as he listens to his parents off screen.
"I'm going to be late tonight. I have that work thing for Comic-Con. I might be out till midnight. Want me to call a sitter so you can come?"
"Comic-Con? Yeah, no, I think I'll skip that."
"You'll miss my Wonder Woman cosplay."
"For real?"
"No, but I will be pretty dolled up. It'll be cool."
"Can I come?"
"No, honey, it's for grown-ups."
"We'll play some Go for Gabby and order pizza, buddy.
It'll be way more fun than...
Than what again?
Oh, the Pushing the Boundaries night at Club Gâteau. It's a fundraising after-party for the Comic-Con organizers. I think we're expecting some celebrities, even. We're the big sponsor. The employee who won the draw for the charity drive picked them. The proceeds go to support for trans youth. So I have to be there to smile pretty for the cameras and show we really care at Zydyne.
You do a great job of that, Wonder Woman.
Yeah, they're so lucky to have me.
They are lucky to have you.
We zoom in on the screen and we go right on through it to enter Comic-Con, moving us into the next scene.